Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. That's the name of this program. My website is crosstheborder.org. And today we're going through the Gospel of Matthew. We've ended up in chapter 5 about verse 17. Think not that I am come to destroy the law. This is a famous sermon called the Sermon on the Mount. He says, think not that I come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say to you, till heaven and earth pass, not one jot or tittle shall no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments. And that's where we left off. These least commandments. And that's what we were talking about. Trying to figure out, what are these least commandments? And if I had to say, how about the Sabbath? Keeping the Sabbath, is that a least commandment? Well, many today would consider that a least commandment, because Paul even made some statements that would tend to let us believe that. Let no man judge you in new moons or Sabbaths or the keeping of days or about dietary laws. Perhaps those would be least commandments too. You know, not to eat pork or unclean fish, scavenger meats and unclean birds and things like that. That might be least commandments. Because if I were to do those things, I would not be violating the rights of my brother. I would not be hating my neighbor. Because, remember, another thing that he said, we're going to get to that. So let's read on here. So anyway, that's my idea of perhaps the least commandments. You may argue or not with me over what is a least commandment, what is an important commandment. You may not, but it's not really that important at this point. So whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. So if I tell you, it's all right, you can eat pig meat, you know. It's all right, you can work on the Sabbath, you know, things like that. Perhaps those are the least commandments. If I say that, and I do those things, which I don't practice breaking the Sabbath, and I don't practice eating unclean meat, just so you know. And I don't teach men that it's okay to do that. But now if you go to the corporate church, they practice and they do those things that are breaking the least commandments. So here's what applies to them. If you teach men, if you break and teach that it's all right to break, because it says if you break the least commandments and you teach men so, you will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. And remember, the kingdom of heaven isn't in the great pie in the sky and the by and by. The kingdom of heaven is where the King of Kings rules on the earth. It's a kingdom without earthly boundaries. It's a holy nation of people on the earth right now. That's the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, as opposed to the kingdoms of this world. We see, as we go through the Gospel of Matthew especially, we see this sharp distinction. We saw it when he was tempted. And we see this sharp distinction being drawn between the region of the shadow of death, the kingdoms of this world, the commandments of men, and the commandments or the laws of God. So whoever shall do and teach, because I'll tell you what, in the resurrection, nobody's going to be teaching and doing the breaking of the commandments, not even the least commandments. Nobody's going to be eating pork in the resurrection, and nobody's going to be breaking the Sabbath in the resurrection. Nobody's going to be keeping pagan holidays in the resurrection. We're going to be keeping his calendar. We're going to be keeping his days. We're going to be keeping his new moons and Sabbaths, and we're going to be eating food that is all clean. If we're going to eat anything at all, it's going to be clean in the resurrection. So this is not a reference to the resurrection. This is a reference to present day then and present day now. What applied then also applies now. Because if they taught that it was okay to break the Sabbath, or they taught that it was okay to break the least commandments because that's what they were doing, because you'll find that men usually teach what they're doing because that justifies them too, the least commandments. You'll be least in the kingdom of heaven. Well, you know, I would rather be least in the kingdom of heaven than great in the kingdoms of this world. So that would be okay, but, you know, why should I be least in the kingdom of heaven? He goes on, and he says, but whosoever shall do and teach the same, and that is those least commandments, if you do and teach the same, you shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Now, if you're great in the kingdom of heaven, I'll tell you what, you are not going to be very great in the world, because the world is going to hate you. And I guess to get by in the world, you might want to be least in the kingdom of heaven. So I do and I teach all the commandments. Why not? I would rather be great in the kingdom of heaven than great in the kingdoms of this world. And if I'm going to be in the kingdom of heaven, if I'm going to be in the kingdom of God, that holy nation that is without boundaries over all the earth, if I'm going to be part of that, if I'm going to be in that, well, I don't want to be least in that. Let me be great in it. And those that object, well, they call me names. They can call me a legalist if they want, which I'm not a legalist. I'll tell you who the legalists are. The legalists are the ones who say you must obey every commandment of men, and even where it nullifies the law of God. And there are those that obey the laws of romance over the law of God. If you put anything over his law, you're the legalist. If you put any law form over his, you're the legalist. And really, what most of these legalists don't know, when they try to convict me of the sin of disobedient to the laws of men, is that they have voluntarily entered into agreements to keep the law of men. It's like, it's like the 501c3 state churches. They're corporations. They have volunteered to come under another law form. They have volunteered to serve another master, and that is the state. And because they've entered into an agreement to serve the state, well, now they should obey according to that agreement. But then they want me to do it and accuse me if I don't. Because when a lot of times when you question on the corporate, well, we're just obeying the law. Well, yeah, but you volunteered. You know, it's like me saying, well, you're AWOL. You didn't report to the base last night. Well, I never joined the Army or the Air Force. I don't come under that law. And that's what they've done. They've volunteered. They've joined. So now they're under the law. If you don't join, what obligation do you have? In a land that is supposed to be free, where we're supposed to have religious freedom, if I volunteer to do that which is unlawful according to God's law, wouldn't I be placing the law of men over the law of God? What is legal over what is lawful? Because what is legalism? Well, legalism says that I can have abortions, that I can, you know, me and my wife, if I had a wife, we could kill our child before it's born, or she could kill it without notifying me because, you know, it's her right to choose. It's her body, after all, that the child is in, and if she don't want it in there, she can abort it. That's legal, but it's not lawful. So that's legalism, my friend. What I practice isn't legalism. What I practice is biblical. And it may be I may teach and keep the least commandments, but I certainly don't force anyone else to do it. And I don't say if you eat pig, you're going to hell, because I can't say that, because Yahshua says you're not. He says you're just least in the kingdom. That's all. And I'm telling you, have a choice. You could be great in the kingdom. You could say, I want to wholly keep his law. I want to do only the things that please him. And if he says that I shouldn't do that, then I believe that's for my good. That's called faith. Faith in his word, not the words of men. I know there are people who come up to me and say, well, you know, I have faith so I can eat anything I want. Oh, okay. Or I can smoke cigarettes because I have faith and you don't. Because you can't. Or you don't eat pork because you don't have faith. Well, okay. I don't have your kind of faith. I have faith in the Word of God. You have faith that you can disobey the Word of God. What do you have faith in? So I will teach, and I will do, but I cannot force anyone, and I would not try to convince anyone that they're going to go to hell if they don't keep the least commandments. Now, if you're out there practicing theft and murder and violating the rights of your brother by trying to force him into stealing from him and force him into charity and all of these legal things that the laws of men try to make him do, well, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. See, that's the great commandment. And that's what Yahshua held up. He said, because when he was asked the question, what is the great commandment? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. See, that's not a least commandment. That's a great commandment. And the second is like unto it, he said, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's a great commandment. Do unto your neighbor as you would do unto yourself. That's the great commandment. Those are the great commandments. And anything that those, but he said, for on these two hang the law and the prophets. And that's what we're talking about here, the law and the prophets. Because he said, they shall not pass away. The law and the prophets shall not pass away. So we're talking in context. We're not divorcing each individual verse. These verse distinctions, you know, 19, 20, chapter 5, these were all put in there for convenience. These are not part of the Word of God. This is one fluid, you know, topic, and it all ties together. We can't separate verse 18 from verse 22. Because he's talking about the law and the prophets. He says, I have not come to destroy the law and the prophets. And later on, when he was asked, what's the great commandment? He said, to love God and love your neighbors yourself. And he said, on these two hang the law and the prophets. And what does that mean? If on these two hang the law and the prophets, that means that these two, loving God and loving your neighbor as yourself, were the reason that we were given the law and the prophets. So where does pig fit into that? You know, if you eat pig, it won't hurt your neighbor, and it might hurt your neighbor because it might hurt your children. Are they your neighbor? Because it can destroy your health. If you eat the things that he says are good for you and you destroy your health, well, you may not be hurting your neighbor, but you're at least hurting yourself. And you may be hurting your neighbor. Something to think about there, a little food for thought, to use a pun. So, let's pick up back here in our text. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men, so he shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said of them of old time, thou shalt not kill. And of course here we are going to translate that as thou shalt not murder. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. And we went through the Old Testament. We saw the case law that told us what murder was, or what the kill when it's a sin is, because it's not murder if you're defending your own life. It's not murder in a time of warfare where you're being attacked. It may be murder if you go and attack someone else unprovoked to force democracy on them. That may be murder, even if it is corporate murder. It may be. I can't judge every individual case, and I can't judge the intent of every individual soldier, but perhaps some of them aren't judging the actions, or some of them are deceived into thinking they're doing a right thing when they're doing a wrong thing. But let our Heavenly Father judge every man, and He will, according to their own conscience. It still does not justify the actions at times, and those that are accountable will be accountable. I'm glad that He has the job of judging the earth and judging every man individually, and I don't have to make that kind of judgment. The Scripture only calls me to judge myself, that I be judged of no man, and we all need to judge ourselves in righteousness. We need to judge our words, our deeds, every word that comes out of our mouth, we need to judge it. Every deed that we do, we need to judge it and see if it conforms to righteousness, what he considers what is right in his sight. So he says, "For I say it to you, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said of them, by them of old, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment." So murderers are in danger of the judgment. "But I say to you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment." Well, you know, we have to take this apart here. You know, everyone is angry with a cause, but is it a righteous cause? Is it a cause that is righteous in the sight of our Heavenly Father? Now, if you're angry at a man because he raped your daughter or he stole your property, you have a just cause to be angry. If you're angry at a man because of his unrighteous deeds, because he oppresses the widow and the poor, you have a righteous anger. You have a cause. So, but if you're angry without a cause, without a righteous cause, say you're angry at me because I caught you stealing and I stopped you, or you're angry at me because you committed adultery with my wife and I called you out on it, and I called you an adulterer. If you're angry at me because I'm righteous and you're not, then you are angry without a cause. This is referring to you. But the one who's angry with a righteous cause, there is a righteous anger. But let's make sure that our anger is righteous. And, you know, anger is something that we all have to deal with. We all have anger. And unrighteous anger springs from pride. That's what it does. It springs from pride. And that's what it's all about. How dare you? How dare life? How dare things not go my way? After all, I'm more important than everything else. Why, if I want your wife, if me and your wife fall in romantic love, well, that's tough, you know. I should have it my way. And if you try to stop that, I'm going to be angry at you. That's unrighteous anger. That's without a righteous cause. And you're in danger, the scripture says, of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, and here we have, they throw in a rak'ah, it says Chaldee origin, vain, empty, worthless, a term of utter vilification, shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. And I'm not sure about these statements, but I think that if an occasion arises where we're guilty of something like that or tempted with something like that, I'm sure that if we're following His Holy Spirit and allowing His Holy Spirit to work in our life, that we'll be stopped or convicted if we fall into this type of thing. And, you know, that's the wonderful thing about our Heavenly Father, is that we can repent of all of these sins, of all of this evil that we commit, all of the things that we so easily fall into. We can repent. But without repentance, I have to warn you, without repentance, there is no forgiveness. And without forgiveness, there is no escape from the mortal punishment, from death, and the eternal punishment from your sin. So let the Holy Spirit work in your life. Don't blaspheme the Holy Spirit by saying it's from God or that you don't need to obey His commandments, that you won't allow His law to be written on your heart. That, to me, is an unforgivable sin. And if you die in that state, then you will suffer the punishment forever. It will be unforgivable at that point. But I believe that we can repent any time that the Holy Spirit convicts us. We don't want to get to a point where the Holy Spirit cannot work in our life, cannot convict us of sin. We may be blind to some of our sin. We may not be ready, but allow Him to work in your life. And He's going to take on the biggest things first, and He's going to start working down the line. That's why you have people here that break the least commandments. They're still working on the big things in their life. They haven't got to the little things yet. They're still working on the big things. They're still working on getting out the big things in their life. And later on, maybe they'll get to the little things if those little things don't destroy them. Because the little things can destroy you, and you can still be saved. You can be least in the kingdom. Yes, you can. And unfortunately, I think that's more where most people end up, least in the kingdom, because it's comfortable to continue in disobedience in some things and say, well, I've done the big things. You know, I don't commit adultery and I don't steal. And that's a good thing. It's a good thing. Just allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life. And eventually you'll get to the little things. And the big things, they always try to pop back up too. So you always got to be wary and careful. I know that recently there was a somewhat renowned man that, there's my tone, so I know it's coming to the break, and perhaps we'll pick up here. We'll talk about the renowned man and what happened and how we should view that and what it means to each one of us individually when someone who has a name for themselves in the so-called Christian community takes a big fall. We'll be back.